Welcome to Truth Worth Living, where you can see that we have decided to film this during the eclipse. And if the world ends and you're seeing this, then you've been left behind, so you'll need to get the message. So this is for you. Now, throughout the book of Hebrews, we have plowed through a lot of doctrine as the writer has attempted to establish the supremacy of Christ for these believers who are thinking about jumping ship for the more familiar teachings of Judaism. But the doctrinal portions of the book, while they are critical, actually play a supportive role in his vision or in the original intent of the book. The writer's objective was to actually motivate the believers to stay the course. This was a work of exhortation, and he makes that clear in his salutation in Hebrews 13:22, where he writes, "Brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for in fact I've written to you quite briefly." Now, we can argue about the brief part. That's kind of like me saying my sermons are short. But it's true that the main thrust of this letter was to exhort them to faithfulness. And the segment that we begin looking at today is the last of the five motivational speeches that he weaves throughout this letter. Here's the speech in its entirety in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. He writes, "Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done." Now, the first thing to bear in mind as we read that is to think this is a coach, okay, who's talking to his team. It's not a personal coach talking to a single athlete. This is a team speech with a powerful word of exhortation toward winning. It is an address to the entire community of Hebrew believers. Now, most of the time when we read the New Testament and we read the word you or your, we think of it as singular, where in fact it is most often plural. So think y'all and y'alls, as they said where I'm from. He's addressing them collectively. Now, of course, that doesn't absolve individual believers of their responsibility. This kind of call requires personal resolve as well as community commitment. No team can win if the individual team members don't do their part. It's just like a chain. It's only as strong as its weakest link. So there is individual responsibility, but it should be harnessed for community flourishing. Now, what were the winning actions that he was motivating them to embrace? Collectively, they were to strengthen, to make straight, to pursue, and to see to it. It was all about the group working together to ensure that the individual parts of the team could succeed. And this is made plain in verses 12 and 13. I want you to look at those. "Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather be healed." So he goes back to the racing theme that he introduced in chapter 12, where we are to run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. And for the purpose of the race, the community had to commit to strengthening and straightening. First, he says they were to strengthen the runners. Now, in athletic competitions, people are susceptible to wilting. Okay, feeble arms and weak knees here are signs of discouragement and indicate that the athlete is susceptible to defeat. Now, it could be that those runners are wilting because of fatigue, because of the discipline of the Lord, or even because of the effective attacks of the enemy. But the cause was absolutely irrelevant. Some of them were certainly showing signs of weakness, and therefore it was imperative that they be strengthened. The word strengthened means to stand up straight. It communicates the posture of a winner. So conversely, the mindset of defeat causes us to slouch physically and mentally. We lose our resolve. So the call is to strengthen those who are slouching. They should be reminded that the victory has been won, and so they can stand tall and compete. Second, he says they were to straighten the track. Now, we don't just address the runners or the athletes, but we have to address the track they're running on. The command was to make level paths for your feet. That's a command to create an environment where it is safe to compete. Okay, when I was young, my dad was a part of a volunteer crew that helped prepare the football field for the high school team. And not only did they make the place look great, hoping to give the team some level of pride in their home field so they could take advantage of the home field, but they also worked diligently to level the field, making it safe for the athletes. I can remember spending many nights in that stadium filling holes, leveling the turf, and making the field safe for the players. Now, when he exhorts the believers to make level paths for their feet, it carried the same connotation. The believers needed to cultivate a community where the runners were safe to run the race. The path of the race needed to be clear. They needed to know where they were going and level. And there needed to be grace for those who stepped out of line. That was especially necessary because, as he points out, some of the runners were lame. Okay, the lame referred to runners who were in danger of fatigue or spiritual laxity. The command was that the strong had to accept responsibility for creating environments that would enable the weakest of them to succeed. The idea is that when we are running on a safe track, where expectations are clear and grace is flowing in abundance, then those runners could heal up and run at their level of potential in Christ Jesus. The bottom line is that success for the individual Christian is absolutely dependent upon the body of Christ working to inspire, direct, and even protect them as they run. Now, that's the path to winning, and this is Truth Worth Living. Thank you so much for joining me today. I look forward to seeing you. If you join us Wednesday night, we're starting a study in the book of Colossians. And then on Sunday morning, we're going to continue our series called The Seeker. Hope to see you soon. Have a great day.